Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
More blasted rhetoric from the Banana Republic for people who think capital punishment isn't going nearly far enough.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on the glorious return to work for all those people who thought having a long weekend off was a good idea. I, of course, was not one of them. Technically speaking, they should all be off for another day, of course, as today is St. George's Day and Jeremy Corbyn wants workers to have a break. I've got news for you, Jezza. They've just had a long weekend off. But for once, I actually agree with you. Here is what Jeremy Corbyn has to say on Twitter this morning. Happy St. George's Day to everyone celebrating in England and across the world. We'll make today one of four new bank holidays for the whole of the UK. Workers deserve a break and a chance to celebrate our country's traditions of fairness and social justice. Well, thank you very much indeed, Jeremy. Have you told Emily Thornberry, by the way, who seems to think the flag of St. George is some kind of racist emblem? Why shouldn't we have a holiday to celebrate the patron saint of England? After all, the Irish have St. Patrick, the Scots have got St. Andrew, and the Welsh even have St. David. Now that Brexit is upon us, what better reason to recognise our own nation properly? And isn't it time to reclaim the flag of St. George anyway from where it currently resides? 0344 499 1000. Coming up, I'll be asking what on earth makes the new IRA think it's okay to apologise for killing Lyra McKee by accident last week in Derry, and when are they going to shut down their ghastly terrorist organisation and hand themselves in for some kind of imprisonment? Plus, I'll be asking why major supermarkets think it's okay to monitor shoppers as they go about their business inside the store, and I'll be finding out why mothers are under more stress than ever. Apparently, mothers can't cope. Well, if you couldn't cope with having a child, maybe you shouldn't have had one. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, every year, St. George's Day comes around, and it's always a bit of a surprise, isn't it? Because when St. Patrick's Day comes around, everybody goes, oh, we know St. Patrick's Day's coming because we're all planning to go out on the Terps. We're all going to have a great time. We're all going to have a drink, and we're all going to pretend we're Irish for the day. St. Andrew's Day in Scotland is pretty much the same. Everybody has a good time. Everybody enjoys themselves. They use it as an excuse to have some social activity. In Wales, St. David's Day, 1st of March, I think, normally, everybody enjoys themselves. They wear daffodils. They wear leeks. They put a little badge on. They have pride in their country. In England, it's St. George's Day. You have to creep about and suddenly discover by accident, oh look, it's St. George's Day. I have not seen one St. George's flag on my way into work this morning. I no doubt will not see one on my way home either. What is that all about? And the idea that Jeremy Corbyn and I have finally agreed on something is even more reason to celebrate the day and the idea that it should be a holiday. Now, I'm not saying that what we should have had this weekend was a five-day holiday, off from Thursday night into Friday off, Saturday off, Sunday off, Monday off, and then Tuesday. But normally speaking, Easter comes around a little bit earlier, and so St. George's Day would stand alone as a holiday for everybody to have the day off. Now, I think it's a great idea, and I'm sure many of you will agree with me. 0344 499 1000. The only time you really see St. George's flags is during the Football World Cup, when people fly them from their cars, people hang them outside their windows, people put them up outside pubs. People suggest that the St. George's flag only really means that you support the England football team. And I don't think we should have it as that emblem. I think we should have it as the emblem of a nation, particularly now that Brexit is coming. Well, we say Brexit's coming, but having had the politicians all off for a few days, it doesn't seem as if they've come back with any new ideas. More of that later, of course. Surely, we should be able to have pride in our nation, we should have pride in our patron saint, and we should have pride in St. George, shouldn't we? Let's talk to Paul Connew, columnist for The New European, who I feel sure will agree with me. Paul, a very good morning to you.
Well, I often don't agree with you, Mike, or with Jeremy Corbyn, but on this occasion, I do.
Excellent.
Although I think you obviously haven't been anywhere near any Nigel Farage or UKIP rallies, because you'll be seeing plenty of union flags around there.
Well, that's a union flag, though, isn't it? I mean, that's not a St George's flag, which is something entirely different. All I ever see St George's flags waving around on is when we're in a World Cup.
You do see them at some of the UKIP, and I imagine I haven't yet been anywhere near a Farage rally, but I'm sure there will be.
Yeah, I haven't been to any either. Maybe that's why I haven't seen any.
But Jeremy Corbyn, actually, while he's pondering his position on Brexit and still straddling his fudge fence, he might want to consider that St George is probably the ultimate, pan-European, the ultimate multicultural man. I mean, he's back. He never set foot in England, by the way, but his heritage, his family was part Greek, part Palestinian, and part Turkish.
Right. And how did he end up being our patron saint, then? How did that work?
That came about in the 8th century, apparently, when the legend about him killing a dragon, which I think we can probably assume probably isn't true.
which may or may not have been Welsh, right?
Starring in an early version of Game of Thrones, but in fact, but he's also, I discovered, I didn't realise this, but until I had your researcher called me, I had a quick check. He's also, by the way, speaking of multiculturalism, he's also the patron saint of Lithuania, Greece, Bulgaria, Palestine, and Ethiopia. So I think Jeremy can actually feel totally multicultural on that one.
Well, I'm amazed that we haven't seen, in that case, Jeremy laying a wreath at some kind of tomb of the unknown St George somewhere between Palestine and Turkey, in that case, which maybe explains why he suddenly got this overwhelming desire to show patriotism. Because Corbyn, as you well know, Paul, has never really been one of the great patriots of this nation, has he?
No, he hasn't. I think that's fair to say. I don't think he's particularly unpatriotic, but he's not actually what you might call somebody who wears his patriotism.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, Emily Thornberry, who famously tweeted and has never been allowed to forget it, and I'm not going to allow her to forget it either, that she showed a picture of somebody flying St George's flag and more or less called them racist for doing so. I mean, that's the side of the Labour Party that Corbyn's on.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure about that. As you know, I'm no Corbynista. But I think sometimes. I mean, I disagree with him strongly on things like his view of disarmament and the nuclear issue. But I don't think he's particularly unpatriotic. But I think he sees himself more. Funnily enough, he sees himself as a globalist in some
ways. He's an internationalist. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you can't imagine Jeremy Corbyn flying an England flag in any situation at all, can you?
No, I don't. I don't think he'll be digging his allotment while even if this idea gets through. And I see they've expressed today are running a big poll. I think I'm sure if they made a public holiday, I'm sure the answer to that we can guess right now. But but Jeremy Corbyn certainly won't be digging his allotment while wearing a St George T-shirt. But back to St George again. Funnily enough, I mean, he was the ultimate sort of European jobbing traveller. He was a soldier who served three different Roman emperors, I think, and was eventually put to death for his Christian views, which is where, of course, the legend, and the sainthood, originates from.
So what would be the reason against having a public holiday? Because, as I said, I mean, St Patrick's Day is universally celebrated. I mean, you and I remember well our time in America, where you would basically see everybody.
Everybody
of every hue and colour and creed and religion and no matter where they were from, whether it was Puerto Rico or Portugal.
While you're mentioning the new IRA, a dreadful prospect, of course, let's not forget that St Patrick's Day is celebrated on both sides of the Irish border. He's the patron saint of both the Republic of Ireland, and Northern Ireland.
Yeah, no, indeed. But what I'm saying is culturally speaking, that is a worldwide celebration all over the place. Because I mean, not for no accident, there are plenty of Irish bars in almost every part of the world that you go to. Similarly, St Andrew's Day is very well celebrated in Scotland and by Scots.
And it's a public holiday.
And by Scots around the world.
But St David's Day, funnily enough, isn't.
No.
So I think in the interest of the Union, we should actually also support having St David's Day made a bank holiday for our Welsh brethren, too.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's, of course, it's an issue for the Welsh Assembly, not the not the Westminster.
Well, I wonder about that, because I don't know whether the Welsh Assembly has enough powers to declare national holidays. It may not.
I think it does. I'm not totally sure on that, but I think it does. And I don't think there will be any objections from Westminster if Wales decided it wanted to have a bank holiday for St David's Day. Apparently, some local authorities in Wales do give kids half a day off school on St David's Day, but it's not an official policy, and it's certainly not a bank holiday in Wales.
No, quite. And what about the kind of iconoclastic kind of view of the England flag? Because I'm getting tweets already from people saying the problem with the England flag is not so much about the right-wing associations, but the football hooligan-type association. Mike says, Jay, the problem is the English flag symbolises English hooligans and the disgusting reputation the fans carry abroad. And there is a bit of that, isn't there?
There is a bit of that, and I think I'm as horrified as you are when you see heavily tattooed, flag-waving English football louts in action abroad, shaming us. But I think that isn't an argument. That's an argument for, in fact, better control and banning, the unruly elements in football and also in politics. People who attack MPs, in the name of right-wing nationalism, and often have union tattoos, over them. But I think that's not an argument against making St George's Day a public holiday.
But how is that happened?
It's probably hoping this will play well with the Leave voting Northern Labour seats, which is the reason, of course, he's still prevaricating over a second referendum.
But this is weird, isn't it? Because, the Scottish flag, the flag of St Andrew, has not been appropriated like that. The Welsh flag certainly hasn't. The Irish flag hasn't either. I wonder what it is about the England flag that has allowed it somehow to be misused and to be kind of stolen in a way by those who have no right to own it.
You're absolutely right, and it's nauseating in one level. I think the only doubt I would have about making it a bank holiday, although I'm in favour of it, is that it would be massively cheered, by the likes of Tommy Robinson, etc., who would no doubt go out and consume lots of booze on it. And of course, booze is the common denominator factor in so much, when you do see England football fans, behaving insanely and violently abroad, it's normally a combination of alcohol as well as wearing Union Jack T-shirts and etc.
I know that Theresa May
is the dark side. That's the downside of it. But it's not a case, I think, to actually say, well, we should allow these louts and extremists to actually decide whether we should actually have a St George's Day bank holiday. I think the idea is sound, and the argument, although I can understand why some listeners are tweeting or texting in their misgivings, but I think that's almost like surrendering, to the extremists and the louts and the hooligans.
Right. Well, I've got Harry sending me this tweet. I would be concerned about being branded a racist for waving the flag of St George, says Harry from St Albans. And that's unfortunately how a lot of people feel. We all know Theresa May is probably perhaps the most hopeless Prime Minister in the history of Prime Ministers. But wouldn't she steal a march on Corbyn right now if she just came out and said, today is St George's Day, I'm going to declare from this day forth that every year we have it, it's going to be a bank holiday.
A bit late for that, Mike, because she would obviously look like she'd, Jeremy Corbyn was calling the shots, as many Tories think he already is.
But she couldn't surely look any worse than she already does. She might as well, try and make it look as if she's trying to be popular.
Can you imagine Mark Francois's reaction? Although he might, he'll probably welcome the idea, he would actually probably also attack Theresa May for not doing it before Jeremy Corbyn had advocated it.
Yeah.
So I think she's between the devil and the deep blue sea on that one.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. It's a shame, though. It really is that none of the politicians in this country can actually get it organised to do something that the people would actually like to see done. Paul, thanks very much indeed. Paul Connew, columnist for the New European, and a man who agrees with me on very few things, but agrees with me on this, that we should have, as Jeremy Corbyn suggests, a national holiday. If Theresa May has a proper bone in her body of patriotism, and if she has a proper sense of what it is that people want, and if she had even any decent advisers around her, surely to heavens she would do this for England and St. George. This is Talk Radio.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
On Talk Radio.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do, 03444991000. You can, of course, tweet us at Talk Radio. You can tweet me at IROMG, as in the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Text us as well, 87222. Text will cost you 25p, plus your standard network rate. Start your message with the word talk. And here's one from Steve, who's texted in. He said, if supermarkets are filming us, who do I write to for my royalties check? Well, that's a very good question, Steve. Good luck. Maybe that's what we should all do. Maybe we should all send letters in to all of the shops that have been mentioned, Tesco's, the Co-op, B&Q, Boots, and say, I understand you've been using my image for nefarious purposes, possibly for commercial gain, and certainly for analytical data purposes. I would like my pound of flesh. You have to pay me 50 quid. Even if it's only 50 quid. Dave says, the caller who was talking about cameras at the pay at the pumps watching you put your PIN number in. Police Scotland actually put a video clip out telling us not to use them. Is that interesting? So, I mean, you have to be a bit careful out there because, as our caller said from Sunderland, you can actually see what number you're putting in if you're standing inside the kiosk where people are paying. Absolutely incredible. Daniel says, very interesting piece on supermarkets. I noticed my face was being tracked in March. Maybe I should seek redress. Sorry for the terrible picture quality. He sent a picture in of himself in a shop, and above him is a picture of him walking along the corridor in the same shop. It really is remarkable. I had no idea that they were doing this. I really had no idea, and I think it's quite disgraceful. I'd like to hear some more of your experiences, please. 0344 499 1000 is the number. Let's talk to Kieran Osborne now, though, who's director of policy, I should say, at Action on Smoking Health. Because you might remember a little while ago, Public Health England came out and said that vaping was a good idea. Their motivation for doing so was basically saying that, well, of course, it's much better than smoking. I suggested that it might be a bit of a dangerous piece of advice to be giving out. And it now turns out that a scientist has actually criticised them and said that they are turning a blind eye to the risk of e-cigarettes. And he's saying to Public Health England, stop ignoring the dangers of vaping. Let's talk to Kieran and find out what he makes of it all. Kieran, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you too.
So what do you make of all this? I remember at the time thinking it's a bit unusual for an organisation like Public Health England to be actually advocating and actively seemingly encouraging people to vape.
Well, I think there's a consensus that vaping is 95% less harmful than smoking. And what Public Health England are doing, which I think is the right thing, is saying that if you want to use e-cigarettes, vaping as a way to quit smoking, then you should. And I think that definitely lines up with what we think at ASH as well.
Yeah, but it wasn't actually saying that, was it? I mean, their advice at the time, I seem to remember, was actually they were kind of trying to encourage people to vape. It wasn't just if you're giving up smoking. It was almost encouraging it as an alternative to smoking, saying, look, if you have to smoke anything, vape instead.
Well, yeah, so vaping is definitely better than smoking. I mean, the Public Health England definitely weren't recommending that people who don't smoke, who never smoked, take up vaping. But like vaping is the best, it is a really good way to quit smoking. There's a randomized control trial earlier this year which showed it's twice as effective in a stop smoking service setting. And the Smoking Toolkit study, which is an annual study from University College London, shows us that more and more smokers are using e-cigarettes to quit smoking. And I think anything that basically stops people smoking tobacco that, you know, contributes to the deaths of 100,000 people every year in the UK is a good thing.
Well, Professor Martin McKee doesn't agree with you. He's from London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. He says there are grounds for serious concerns about e-cigarettes, and he's particularly critical of Health England's Public Health England's idea of actually putting out vaping as a prescription cure.
Well, actually, I think that he said that he'd be keen to see e-cigarettes used in a medicinal way, and I think we'd welcome that as well, but alongside kind of being able to just being sold directly to smokers at the same time. Another thing that Professor McKee said is that he kind of welcomed the San Francisco model where they've actually banned e-cigarettes, but we think that sounds astounding, to be honest, because you know, why would you ban e-cigarettes, which, you know, the experts agree are 95% less harmful than tobacco, when you're not banning smoking itself? So, you know, as long as
I think he, like I, Kieran, just feels slightly uneasy about a health body which is supposed to be promoting health saying to people, do this because it's not as bad as doing that. I mean, it's not real. I mean, it's a bit like saying, you know, don't drive at 100 miles an hour, drive at 90 miles an hour, you might not die.
Well, I mean, to follow that analogy, it's more like saying, don't drive at 100 miles an hour, drive at 5 miles an hour, you know, because it's 95%.
Well, that's just as dangerous as driving at 90, I think you'll find.
Yeah, well, I suppose it depends where you are. But I suppose the point is here that as a harm reduction method, as a way of moving people from being smokers to quitting smoking, e-cigarettes are a great way to do that. And I think it doesn't make any sense to take that option away from people who want to give up smoking.
And has this particular campaign been successful then? Have loads of people given up smoking cigarettes and started smoking e-cigarettes?
Some people have, yeah.
How many?
Sorry, I don't have the figures to me, but I can probably send them to you later on.
I'm talking to you now, man.
What I would say is that the problem that we see around e-cigarettes is that people still don't know enough about them. Around 40%.
Well, they could be really dangerous. That's the point. I mean, we don't really have enough information, and that's what he's saying. We haven't had them around long enough, is his quote. When we look at the evidence we do have, there's enough grounds for serious concerns.
Well, actually, the problem that we're facing around what people know about e-cigarettes is that 40% of people think they're just as harmful or more harmful than cigarettes, and
but maybe they are.
It's just wrong. No, I mean, there's consensus on this that they're 95% less harmful than cigarettes.
Well, where's that come from, Kieran? We haven't studied them for long enough. They haven't been around for long enough. You don't know what, for example, 20 years of vaping will do to someone because we haven't had it around for 20 years.
Well, that's true, but I mean, and I should say I'm not a medical doctor, but there's a lot of people who've spent their lives researching tobacco, researching how to stop smoking tobacco, researching how to improve the health of the public around tobacco, who are pretty much agreed that e-cigarettes are 95% less.
Well, you keep saying that, but you don't supply me with any evidence.
Researchers, I can provide you with a reference if you want the Smoking Toolkit study.
Who's doing these studies? Researchers at New York University subjected human bladder and lung cells to e-cigarette vapors, which are marketed as being healthier than tobacco. They found the cells mutated and became cancerous much faster than expected, and mice exposed to the vapor suffered significant DNA damage. That doesn't sound harmless to me.
I mean, but what you're doing there is taking a specific study which exposed people to exposed mice to really high levels.
Okay. Well, here's another one. Queen Mary University, London, found vaping makes users more likely to catch pneumonia, just like smoking tobacco or breathing in traffic fumes. So there's two studies there.
Yeah, but what these studies don't in any way disprove is that e-cigarette use is 95%. Better than smoking.
Well, you keep repeating that.
Yeah, but nobody is saying that if you're not currently smoking, then you should start vaping. Nobody's saying that. What they're saying is,
yeah, but you're still in the business of promoting something which could be harmful, which people I think have a right to know.
It's less harmful than tobacco. We know it's substantially less harmful than tobacco.
Yeah, but it could still be harmful, Kieran, is my point. Surely that is not the point of Public Health England recommending something to someone which might do them harm, because if Public Health England says it's all right, I would have an expectation, as most people would, that they're recommending something which is not bad for me. If they're recommending something that's bad for me, then that's a bad idea.
What Public Surely. Health England is saying, though, is that e-cigarettes are better than tobacco, which everyone agrees
they are.
Yeah,
but you're missing my point. Surely you're getting my point, Kieran. Surely the Public Health England policy should not be about recommending things which could be harmful.
So, like, as I've said, and I'll say again, nobody at Public Health England is recommending that you start vaping if you're not currently smoking. They're saying that if you can move from smoking to vaping, then that is
a
good thing.
Yeah, I understand that. We're just going round in circles here, Kieran. Are you telling me that you think it's a good idea for a public health body to recommend something to someone as a patient which might harm them? Are you saying that's a good policy?
I'm saying that in this case it is, yeah.
Really?
That if
I find that staggering.
Smoking, if you can stop smoking by using vaping, then you should do it.
Really?
I mean, everyone should stop smoking anyway, to be honest. But if the way to do that is to use e-cigarettes, then, you know, Ash, we fully support that.
Mm, interesting times. Kieran, thank you very much indeed. Kieran Osborne, Director of Policy at Action on Smoking Health, who actually thinks that Public Health England should be giving out information to people which leads them to do something which could harm them. I find that extraordinary. I find it absolutely staggering. And obviously there are people who now agree with me, because it would appear that we do not know enough about vaping. We do not know enough about e-cigarettes and the damage that they can do long term. And according to Professor McKee, who is a man who I think I stand very much next to, Martin McKee from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, he says it's wrong that they should be promoting this stuff. I think he's absolutely right. 0344 499 1000. It's a funny old world. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the independent republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
The Big Chief with a badge, a cattle prod and a head on a stick.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The independent republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. It is, of course, the day after the Easter weekend. The Extinction Rebellion crowd seems to have disappeared to a large extent out of central London. They're certainly not on Waterloo Bridge anymore. They might be somewhere down near Parliament. The parliamentarians, of course, have returned from their Easter recess, and apparently they haven't got any more ideas than they had before they went away. They might be all a bit more rested. They might be all a bit more refreshed, but I'm afraid they don't appear to have any more idea about what to do as far as getting out of the European Union is concerned. We'll take more of your calls on that coming up in this hour. 0344 499 1000. We've been talking about St. George's Day as well. Jeremy Corbyn wants to make it a national holiday. I actually agree with him. It's the first time I think he and I have agreed on anything, so it must be a good idea. 0344 499 1000. Coming up in this hour, though, we're going to be talking to Big Brother Watch, because incredibly, it appears that not only do our supermarkets track everything that we buy if we've got a loyalty card, not only do they keep an idea in their heads of precisely which way we like to shop, but they've also been filming us secretly as well. Whenever we go into the big supermarkets, they are following us around. They are analysing precisely what we do, when we do it, why we do it, and sometimes they even publish the videos on YouTube without our permission. Surely this can't be allowed, can it? It's a fantastic expose by the Daily Mail, and I'm going to be finding out precisely why these shops think that they can get away with it. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, we're talking here about Tesco's, we're talking about Boots, we're talking about Sainsbury's, and the Co-op have all commissioned something called the SBXL, Behavioural Analysis Agency, to record customers as they shop in the aisles of their supermarkets. I find this absolutely and utterly quite disgusting, really. I mean, it's almost as bad as discovering that people like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all sorts of other social media giants were actually recording things that we were saying and listening to those recordings, and sometimes listening live to some of the things that we were doing in the privacy of our own homes. This, for me, is just as bad. Let's talk to Silky Carlo, director of Big Brother Watch, to find out how on earth they've got away with this and what we can actually do about it. Silky, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. This is quite a shocking expose by the Mail, isn't it? I mean, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a behavioural analysis agency, but I suppose it makes sense that there is such a thing. But in order to gain the information that they are providing to all of these big companies, they're actually watching us as we shop.
It's really concerning, and I think is part of a much bigger picture that we have in this country with ever-encroaching surveillance and being watched all the time for different purposes. Here we see customers being treated, frankly, like guinea pigs in experiments.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already used to shops and supermarkets being heavily watched by security cameras. But the idea of cameras being actually hidden in shelves, watching how we're picking up products, looking at them, putting them down, and then seeking to manipulate our behaviours based on that, that's a lurch forward towards something a bit more disturbing.
It really is. And would there not be, or perhaps I'm wrong to assume there would there not be some kind of protection for us from this? Because it's one thing, you know, to be walking down a street knowing that there is a CCTV camera pointing at you, knowing that if a crime was to be committed, the police could capture that footage and maybe try and capture the assailant as well. But this is kind of passive-aggressive filming in a way, isn't it?
It is, and it completely breaches customers' rights, which is why there's a quite concerning angle about this. And what the behavioural analysis company has claimed is that it had written consent forms from everyone that was filmed.
Well, that's rubbish, isn't it?
I find it difficult to believe, to put it diplomatically.
Yes.
You know what it's like when you're in a supermarket. I've never before seen people signing forms, especially the amount of people that walk in front of
them. No. Well, I've certainly never been asked, and I go into plenty of supermarkets. I've never, ever in my life been asked by anyone, would you mind if we filmed you while you were here?
Well, exactly. And I mean, how would you feel, and how would the listeners feel if then you saw yourself or family members or your children being broadcast on YouTube in a supermarket? It's completely unexpected. It would be a complete and flagrant breach of the law. So we do have laws in place to protect us from this kind of thing. But I think what's really worrying is the kind of attitude that retailers and big companies have towards our privacy and towards us, because it's those kinds of attitudes and the complete disrespect that has allowed this to happen.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things apparently that they use it for is to see how we react to certain kind of almost advertising slogans and pictures, for example. I mean, I was reading this morning that they quite like the idea of using lots of pictures of sweet-looking puppies in the dog food aisle, because apparently it makes people buy more dog food, which is, again, it's a rather cynical way of treating your customers, isn't it?
Yeah. I read as well in the fantastic investigation, as you said, but that merely by putting the word milk in a certain font, they were able to drastically increase sales of a particular type of chocolate.
Right.
So the behavioural analysis company is being very open about that. They're trying to get us
Silky, let me just stop you for a second, because your line is breaking up a little bit. I'm going to try and see if we can get a better connection to you just while you're on. Let me just explain a couple of the things that they found this particular investigation doing. Footage which included children remained on the channel for 8 years. YouTube videos on SBXL's public channel showed unsuspecting customers in B&Q supermarkets and duty-free outlets. Multinationals are using arm's-length agencies for similar sales techniques to avoid breaching data law. Boots allowed the firm to use cameras to analyse just how women apply their makeup. And if you look inside the Daily Mail's coverage, you can actually find a photograph, even though they've pixelated out the woman's face, a close-up camera capturing a customer examining products in the shop. It's absolutely extraordinary what this stuff is actually available to do. And the idea that children are also going to be involved in this as well seems incredible. I think we've got Silky back. Silky, sorry about that. It was just that you were breaking up really a lot there.
Apologies. Yeah,
that's
no
okay.
Problem. Look, yeah, it's a deeply, deeply concerning story. And we want to make sure that customers aren't going to be affected by this kind of secret recording again.
Right. I mean, if you are somebody who has been victimised, and I'm not using that word lightly because I think they have been victimised here, and you find yourself actually exposed on YouTube without having been asked whether that was okay, if your children are on there, what can you actually do?
It's a really good question. I would urge anyone who may have been affected to go to the Information Commissioner's office.
Right.
I mean, if your rights have been breached, then you have a right to redress. There is absolutely no way that anyone should have been secretly recorded without their consent, let alone for that footage to end up being broadcast all over the internet.
Mm. And do you think this kind of expose is going to put the frighteners on them at all? Because I would imagine, like all of these things, if Tesco's and Boots and Sainsbury's and Co-op and others are using this stuff, I'm sure almost everybody else is.
I really hope so. And you know, one of the reasons that this has been really concerning is because we're aware that supermarkets are also looking at putting in facial recognition cameras at the checkout. So you'll be aware of the self-checkouts now have self-facing surveillance screens where you can watch yourself putting items through the checkout. And there are plans to fit facial recognition cameras onto that. Now, I think that's a step in completely the wrong direction and really treats customers, paying customers, like criminals.
Yeah.
So I think we really need to urge the big supermarket chains to, although there is an availability of new technologies, to really stop and think about how to treat customers respectfully.
Yes.
And not turn it into a kind of horrible, not turn shopping in their stores into a really horrible and invasive experience.
Yeah. Well, do you know, I was put off one of the big supermarkets years ago. I was living in Glasgow and we actually moved out of Glasgow into another part of the country. And I got a letter, right, from this supermarket sent to me personally at my home address and was forwarded to my new address saying, we're terribly sorry to see that you haven't visited us recently because I had a loyalty card, you know. Please could you tell us if there's a reason why? Please find enclosed some vouchers to come and spend with us. And it gave me the creeps. I was like, hang on a second. You know where I've been. You know when I've come to your shop. And it was probably naive of me not to realise that that's what they were doing. But I really didn't like it.
It's understandable, and the sheer scale of data collection in all aspects of life now, as you said, there's not only Facebook and social media to contend with, but everything that we buy, our shopping experiences, especially shopping online, all of that data can be collected about us. The question is then, what happens with it?
Yes.
Well, we're building records about ourselves, but also those records can be sold to insurers, for example. And I think what people really don't expect is that the next level of physical surveillance as well to be actually recorded in the course of their daily life. But that is also increasing, not only on our streets with surveillance cameras, but as we see here, even in the course of going about our daily business, doing our food shopping. So it really is concerning. And it's exactly what at Big Brother Watch, of course, exactly the kind of growing surveillance in everyday life.
Yeah.
That's what we challenge and stand against.
And I mean, does the Data Protection Act protect us from them filming, or does it protect us after the filming and what they do with it?
The new Data Protection Act in the UK and the GDPR, which is the European regulation, means that if a retailer wants to film you for experimental purposes, as we've seen here, they would need to have your consent. Obviously, you can't enroll people in psychological experiments without even
asking. It sounds the word experiment worries me already, to be honest.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and so it should, because we've seen the consequences here, and we've seen people being broadcast on YouTube, for example. So, yeah, absolutely, you would need to have a form. You'd need to have written consent from the people involved, and it certainly would seem that that hasn't been sought in this case from the evidence that we've seen. But you can film people if it's for security purposes. And this clearly falls way beyond that, because the retailers were actually trying to manipulate their customers into spending more money and buying things they hadn't intended to buy.
Because what, for example, is to stop Boots from showing you or showing me walking around a shop buying, contraception or, buying Viagra or something? I mean, that could be really embarrassing for some people.
Well, it's a good point. And one of the stores where this recording has been going on is Boots, which is essentially a pharmacist.
Yeah.
And I think lots of people feel very uncomfortable about being seen looking at, pharmacy items.
Yeah.
There's a very similar in lots of the big...
even if you're just looking for something for a bad rash or something. I mean, it's not something you want broadcast to the nation, is it?
Exactly. It's very invasive. And I think even with the growth of coverage of CCTV cameras in shops as well, in some of the large supermarkets now, there are CCTV cameras above... above aisles where you really wouldn't want to be filmed, whether it's pharmacy products, the alcohol aisle, and the cameras are not only filming but also have screens up which are playing the CCTV footage live,
yeah.
So other shoppers can see what you're looking at and picking up as well. I find this, and our supporters find this, incredibly invasive. The idea of this being done secretly, the idea of it being done with facial recognition cameras, this is all going down a path that is a very slippery slope, I think.
Sure. And are you able to do anything about this, Silky? I mean, in your capacity as Big Brother Watch, are you going to be making representations to any of these organisations?
Well, concerns have been raised with the Information Commissioner's Office, and they oversee data protection in this country. So we will be looking to them now to investigate and take action. And we will certainly keep a very close eye on how that develops, because from what we've seen, there's been a clear breach of the law here, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen again.
No, quite right. Silky, thanks very much indeed. Sorry about the earlier phone problem. Silky Carlo, Director of Big Brother Watch. This is quite an extraordinary story, I have to tell you. I mean, I imagine there won't be many of you out there who even know about this, never mind have found yourself on YouTube as a result of this agency SBXL. But I'd love to know whether you've had any strange communications from any odd supermarkets and places where you have sort of, you know, habitually gone shopping, because these people are insidiously and invidiously collecting information on you, and who knows what the hell they're doing with it. I'm not happy about this at all. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call us on. We'll take your calls next here on Talk Radio.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. 0344 499 1000. Coming up, we're going to go down to Sri Lanka and get the latest from there as they still try to repair their terribly damaged society and their terribly damaged psyches after those dreadful bombings the other day. Cole says this on Twitter: I gave up cigarettes 5 years ago by taking up vaping. The cough's gone, lungs are clear. Tried a cigarette on a drunken night out a while back, and I felt like I was inhaling the end of an exhaust pipe. I dread to think how much damage I was doing. You don't realise how potent it is until you stop. And some people are also saying that to me. The NHS says frequently used treatments for substance addiction, many of which are harmful but are considerably better than the addictive substance. It's a case of choosing the better of two evils, e.g. methadone for opioid use disorder. Well, that's all very well, but the problem for me is that Public Health England is a public health body, and if you are recommending as a public health body people do something which might be harmful, surely that goes against the Hippocratic Oath, doesn't it, which says do no harm. You may be telling them to do something which is less harmful than what they're currently doing, but you're still giving them the impression that what you're suggesting is actually not harmful, when it might well be more harmful, or at least as harmful, because we don't yet know. That's my point. 0344 499 1000. Richard is in Manchester. Hi, Richard.
Well, good morning, Mike.
Morning.
Thanks for taking the
call. Afternoon, I should say. Sorry.
Good afternoon. Just about, isn't it? I was on the phone there last week when Nancy Pelosi came to Ireland to pontificate.
Yes.
I don't mean that in a nasty way.
No.
About what is going on. And she purposely said, because my sister lived in California, so they hate Trump in a big way, and they love the Democrats. And, of course, Pelosi is the big noise in the Democrats.
She
sent her across to do a job here, and that job is to try to put the two penny in with regards to stopping Brexit, along with a lot of other people.
Mm.
And I did say at the time, it's a very, very delicate situation in Ireland, with Varadkar is under great pressure, and the people up in the north, as you know, the DUP are under great pressure.
Mm.
And for her to come and say there will be no deal, this was to get back at Trump, I'm sure, in my opinion, there will be no deal between England, UK and America if Brexit comes off, there will be no deal whatsoever. Well, that's like a red flag to a bull. And she was saying about the peace treaty in Northern Ireland must be honoured at all costs.
Yes.
And I think that this gives these people who have a say, I'm not saying it's democratic, but if you know a bit about the history with what happened with the IRA and how it was funded by the Americans in the first place in New York, they were throwing $100 into bags to enable them to defend themselves, and you know, the IRA and so on. So it's a
there was a newspaper that was published in New York that used to contribute to the IRA coffers, and there were places in Boston where you could go and just hand money over the bar, which would end up back in Belfast.
You're absolutely right. So to come in at this particular time and to sort of give an opinion, I don't know whether Pelosi knows about the history, but she's probably only given a few facts. It's a very, very, very delicate thing,
yeah.
Dating from 1916 and the uprising, and you have to be careful what you say. I've had relations who have been out there and done four tours. I've got relations in Belfast, even at this moment, people in Donegal and Derry itself, and you've got to be careful what you say, even now after being there for 40 years. And this incites people to go. And at one time, when that bomb went off at the church, do you remember that, Mike, not too long ago?
Yeah.
Sorry, outside, was it the police station or the courts?
Yeah.
It was a one-off thing that some young kids set a bomb off. And I always sit and I wait now because I'm an old man. I think, who's going to come on next? Lo and behold, my old friend, Lord Adonis. Oh, and did you not hear about the bomb? Things are going to kick off in Northern Ireland.
Well, I mean, it's a staggering thing that people would use anything like that for political purposes. But they do, unfortunately. Right. But you're quite right. I mean, the problem is, this has a lot of this stuff has never gone away. And we've sort of taken our eyes off it. But the idea about the Good Friday Agreement somehow being completely and utterly irrevocable because it's all worked terribly well. Yeah, it's worked up to a point terribly well, but it hasn't worked terribly well for everybody.
No, and your point about people taking advantage of a situation as it is now to say, oh, if Brexit comes off, then Ireland is going to burn, that's a disgrace. And we all know the people are who have done it. I mean, Mo Molan wrote a great book. I don't know whether you've read it. And she said she gave her life. As you know, she ended up with cancer, brain cancer in the end. And she gave her life for it. And in the end, people like Blair and a couple of others from America, they came over and signed a peace treaty, but it's the one, it's like Birkinshaw, he's got cancer now because he was doing that job for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not conducive, and you have to live there, or people living there, and to know that, you know, your niece has been tarred and feathered, and we bring them across here to Manchester where they get looked after royally, you know.
Yeah.
They don't understand these things, and they shouldn't be mouthing an opinion. Probably people will say, oh, well, he shouldn't be mouthing an opinion either, but you just sort of let things go. And I hope this girl's death, and I was in tears over it, is not
it's
in
awful
vain.
It's awful. And also, how staggeringly arrogant and ghastly of the so-called, you know, new IRA to apologize for killing her by accident. I mean, who do they think they are? It's absolutely unbelievable.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
Shocking.
The Protestants over there are more British than us, Mike, and the Catholics want their land back, which they lost in 1916. It's as simple as that, and it's going to take a long time to get that peace treaty done. But whilst people are stirring it up all the time and scoring political points, these things are going to happen. God bless the family of that girl.
I know. Shocking. Richard, I appreciate your sentiments. Thank you very much. You're absolutely right, of course.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.